Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Week 8 of the NFL season. It is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about all things NFL Week 8. Our goal is to help you win your league. If you miss any part of today's show, you can get that free 941 The Loon app or go online to 941theloon.com. Just search for the Fantasy Football Foursome. We put the shows up as soon as they are done. We're going to introduce who is on the show. How is your Loon fantasy season going? You first, Lyle.
Lyle Dickman here, returning to the show with a 4-3 squad that, well, I'm like all the guys who drafted first and have Christian McCaffrey riding on my IR, and I'm waiting and waiting for week 10 or maybe 11 to get him back in my lineup. That's the only way I'm going to save the season. That's the only way.
Yeah, I hear you. Jack?
Yeah, Jack Culbertson, straight out of Mankato here. My team apparently is coached or managed by that same end zone official from the Rams-Vikings game.
Oh.
Because we're getting torn down by our face masks, and we don't know what's going on. 3-4. I've got some solid core players, but when they have a normal week, I lose. If Bijan doesn't get two touchdowns a week, I don't stand a chance.
Yeah, I'm John Jennings, and I'm 4-3. I've taken three on the chin the last 3 weeks, injuries, whatnot. I am second in points for, and I am first in points against. So we will see.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we pointed it out because I did this with Justin, I think, the week before. But, you know, not to put you on blast, Lyle, but John, you've scored almost 200 more points this season than Lyle, and he's one spot ahead of you in our division.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those years. It's one of those years.
I love it.
I'll take it right now, but, man, it's not going to last. At this pace, it's not going to last.
Look, cutthroat. Take it where you can get it.
On the show, we're going to have start and sit for week 8, free agents you should be looking at, and daily fantasy plays for this week, but it is time to talk injuries, and I will go over them very quickly because you need to check out what's going on tomorrow. I don't know. I can give you some thoughts as to what might be happening. It starts with quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels trending out. Deshaun Watson, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. He's done for the year. That we do know, probably done for his career. Aaron Rodgers limping around. He should be okay. Andy Dalton, if you're desperate he's banged up. Tua is scheduled to play, but as always, keep an eye out tomorrow. Running backs, Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery, Bucky Irving, new on the injury report this week. Not sure what's going on with Jonathan Taylor, Jordan Mason, Travis Etienne, or Tajay Spears. Wide receivers, holy smokes, what happened last week? Mike Evans, hamstring, he's going to be out for at least 4 weeks. Chris Godwin, done for the year with an ankle. Brandon Ayuk, done for the year. Debo Samuel, pneumonia. DK Metcalf, Zay Flowers, Josh Downs, Alan Lazard all showed up this week. Chris Olave is still dealing with concussion issues. Not sure if he's going to be out this week and out on the field this week. Tight ends, George Kittle has a foot injury, and Taysom Hill may be taking the field again. As I said three times already, check tomorrow to make sure if they're in or out. Well, Thursday night football. Lyle? As we said off air, Jack was the one who said it, and I totally agree. I felt exactly the same way. Two different Rams teams when they have Nacua and Kupp and Williams healthy, and they took down your Vikings.
Yeah, that was quite the first 20 minutes of football where the offenses pretty much looked unstoppable. They did make some adjustments, but yeah, that Rams team was just clicking, and it just made it so much easier for them to run the ball, and obviously with the two weapons, Kupp and Nacua. I mean, Nacua came on back on the field, surprisingly. I think everybody was expecting him to maybe sit out another week or 10 days and be a little more full health in week 9, but they unleashed him on Thursday night and got a very important win for them. I mean, for them, that was their season, I think. People were talking that the Rams were going to trade or that the Rams were going to give up on the season if they lost this game, but they clearly are back in the mix in the NFC West, and the Vikings are now, they're 5-2, and they're probably still on their way to the playoffs, but the pie in the sky 5-0 start is now gone, and Now they got to put their nose to the grindstone to really make it to the finish line and get to that 10-11 win mark.
Jack, the Brian Flores defense that carried us through five wins has kind of been exposed. You're a Falcon guy, so I just thought I'd run this past you. Do Falcon fans kind of, if the Falcons were to start 5-0, are they waiting for the hammer to fall like Viking fans, or is it different?
No, 100%. We've only had two seasons in my life. Well, when we had Vic, anything was possible.
Right.
We were never out. When Matt Ryan had 2 to 3 years while he was playing that we were very confident. Every other time we were very shaky. But we were playing Drew Brees every season, you know, Cam Newton. I mean, these were monster quarterbacks to go against. So, yeah, a little shaky. I think Pace got exposed across the middle with an end zone target to Williams there at one point. So there was some exposure going on there. But I'll tell you what, John, just real quick. Someone had messaged into the show like they wanted music instead of the fantasy football show. The reason why we do this show is we're passionate about football, and I got to watch my 12-year-old son last night get a little tear in his eye out of the anger and frustration and rage at that official that didn't call that face mask at the end. And I had to explain to him part of being a fan, especially maybe a Vikings or a Falcons fan, is things aren't going to go your way, and you just got to learn how to let it – it teaches you to move on to the next opportunity and not, you know, worry too much about what could have been.
Yeah.
Right. You got to get that. So that's where we're at. I think that's where the defense needs to be at for the Vikings. Don't worry about what could have been. Move on to the next opportunity.
Yeah. 10% how I react, or 10% something and 90% how I react. That's attitude. Yeah. It makes sense, man. Anyway. All right. We have just begun here on the Fantasy Football Force, and we're going to come back, talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Thanks for joining us on the Loon. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time to talk daily fantasy news strategies for Week 8. A full slate of games. I don't know why the NFL is doing this. No buys this week. A lot of games on, as many games as there can be, I guess, on a Sunday. Let's kick it off with quarterbacks. Lyle, what are you seeing for Week 8?
I didn't think I was, you know, I haven't really put together a lineup in a while. I've missed the show a couple times here, and I was surprised that Drake May has been as effective as he's been. He's $5,500. I know they're playing the Jets, who have a decent defense. I think everybody's been hyping them up more than they really are good. But he's basically scored 20-plus points in 2 weeks, and they're playing a Jets defense that who knows if they're going to actually show up or not. That team looks like they might quit on this interim coach now. So Drake May, $5,500 for triple up value. I think that's a good – I think that's a lot this week.
Yeah, he looks pretty good. Certainly better than Jacoby Brissett. Jack, quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree on the Drake May. I picked him up in the Loon League as a backup just because you know he's going to score 15 fantasy points. But I got Bo Nix, Carolina going to Denver at the Mile High Stadium. Carolina can't play in Carolina. I doubt they're going to be able to play when they go to Colorado and get to elevation. So he's $5,600, averaging right now 15.5 on DraftKings points per game. And I like him to have a rushing score and maybe a passing score in this game, get another 15 to 20 points.
I like Nix. I had him on my list. I like Caleb Williams at 6,000 against Washington because of their defense. If you have too much money, I think a cash play for sure is Lamar Jackson, trending in for his third MVP, thrown for a touchdown in every game, only two interceptions on the season up against those Cleveland Browns. But if you're looking for a value play or a GPP play, well, no, look no further than my man Jameis Winston at $5,200 against the Ravens. I mean, they're going to score points in this game. The Ravens are. Jameis is going to have to throw, but you have to take your medicine with Jameis Winston. We all know that. If you're listening to this show, more than likely you know that too. Running backs, Jack.
Yeah, Jameis Winston coming out and backing up Deshaun, and he's... You know, I learned a long time ago in the Marine Corps when I was trying to back up a young troop who had done the wrong thing, but I was trying to get him out of trouble. You got to watch who you put your name out there for. And right? Deshaun is not the person you put your name. Jameis just should have said, look, he's a teammate. You know, we're gonna support him and we're going to move forward. Don't get into all this nonsense. All right. Anyways, I said my piece. Well, not yet. I'm going to say more bad stuff about Deshaun Watson later. So stay tuned. Kareem Hunt, $6,300, Kansas City going to Vegas. You know, Vegas is ranked 27th against the run on DraftKings. He's averaging 18 points per game as Kareem Hunt. Two touchdowns last week. I mean, no reason why he shouldn't get another two easy scores this week. I'd like him to have 100 and a touchdown or two scores.
Yeah, the resurgence of Kareem Hunt. Lyle, what do you got for running backs?
Hunt was on the top of my list. I think I'm going to go Tank Bigsby this week. I still think he's the best running back for Jacksonville, whether ETN plays or not. And just they're giving him the ball now. It was 26 carries last week. And he is a little bit of a factor in the passing game, so he's probably a little more valuable in a just standard league. But I still like him at $6,300. And another guy I had on the list was Javonte Williams. This is a matchup thing here. The Saints' run defense is awful, just awful. And they showed that last week, and Williams gets another bad run defense this week, Carolina. So he's at $6,000. I like both those guys.
I'll give you a second one real quick, John, if you don't mind. But Breece Hall, I've got him in the lineup too. He's a little more expensive. But against Buffalo and Pittsburgh, who I think are better than the New England defense, he put up 24 and 29 fantasy points. So he's expensive, but he's playing really well.
Yeah, he is. I like a resurgence in Devon Achan this week with Tua back in the lineup, and he's only $6,200. The Dolphins' salaries have really gone down, and for good reason. We saw what they were doing when Tua wasn't in the lineup. So this is a chance to get Achan fairly cheap. I also like Rashad White, and he's not getting the snaps. It's like a 50-50 this week. I don't know if Bucky Irving's going to play, but he's so effective in the passing game. Yeah, the guy can't run very well at all, but they're going to be up against the Falcons. They're going to need him for the passing game. Sean Tucker doesn't seem to be much of a factor in the passing game, so I like Rashad White for a lot of screen passes and dump offs and things like that from Baker. Just no Evans, no Godwin. It's going to be the Rashad White and Cade Otton show, I think, in Tampa Bay.
I agree.
Let's 100%. Move on to wide receivers, Lyle.
I think T. Higgins. I don't own him in any of my leagues. I wish I did now. $6,500. He missed the first 2 weeks, had a slow start in week three, but since then he's been fantasy gold. And now I think the value is actually ticking up a little bit on him for DraftKings. But I think he's getting targets. He's turning him into touchdowns. He's turning him into big plays. And this Cincinnati offense has started to click here the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think partly because of T. Higgins.
Wide receivers, Jack.
Yep, I agree. I got T. Higgins in a couple leagues. So I went big dollar Jamar Chase, same team, same game. Philly hasn't been able to stop the pass for anything. Jamar's costing you $8,500. He might be just about the most expensive this week. But I think it's one of those weeks where you look at it and you go, well, I could have got that guy in the lineup. And then just to save money, John, I went Rashad Bateman as a backup there as a wide receiver. And then with your boy Jameis, plugged in some Judge Jerry Jeudy.
That's all he did was throw the ball to Jerry Jeudy. One of the other hot plays this week is Cedric Tillman at $3,300. And he got targets. Tillman got targets, like 12 targets last week from all three quarterbacks. But when Jameis came in, he started firing the ball at Jerry Jeudy. I like that call. I'll tell you what a fun stack is, or a fun reverse stack, or whatever you want to call that for GPP plays, is the Jamar Chase call and then go A.J. Brown on the other side. I think that could be a lot of fun because I think that game's going to go over. I think that is going to be high scoring, high octane. And A.J. Brown, I mean, Devonta Smith, I think, threw up a zero burger last week. And Hurts only threw the ball, I think, 15 times. But, man, A.J. Brown is so clearly the first choice for him. So, yeah.
I love the Tillman call. He was on my list, too, and couple other bargains, Troy Franklin and Jalen McMillan, talking about Tampa Bay. I mean, I don't know if McMillan's going to bust out, but $3,700. If he gets five catches for 50 yards, you're doing all right.
Right, and Amari Cooper's only $6,000. I mean, Jalen Waddle, if you really want to gamble, Jalen Waddle's at $5,400. You just never know what you're going to get with him. Tight ends, Jack.
Yeah, went with the Cade Otton, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. I agree with you, John. If I'm Tampa, man, I line Rashad White out. Outside at either outside receiver or slot receiver, and I keep Tucker and Irving in the backfield next to Baker, and we just dink and dunk and keep scoring points, but we'll see what they do. I like Cade out and have a big game, though. I don't know how the Bucks get a series of first downs without including this guy. Mm-hmm. And then because I had the money, I did put Kittle in my flex. So if I couldn't have Otten, I probably would have gone Kittle. As long as he's healthy, he should get almost every target. I mean, there's just really nothing left in San Fran to throw the ball to.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. He's just got to keep an eye out on his foot injury. Tight ends, well.
Yep, Cade Otten for sure. He's 3,500. It's a great call. And if Kittle plays, yeah, he's a great matchup too. But I'm going to go Hunter Henry with my stack with May. $3,800. He's had 17 and 13 fantasy points with May. Again, they have very few options besides Stevenson in the backfield, and even he's been kind of suspect. So I like Hunter Henry to get at least, you know, five targets, and if he finds the end zone, that's a great payday.
Yeah, I think that's Drake May's man, and I had Henry and Otten down for my value plays too. The too much money plays, Trey McBride is kind of now bouncing out and turning into what anybody who manages him thought he would be when you drafted him. And of course, Brock Bowers, how do you step away from Brock Bowers? He's turned into the tight end one if he isn't already. Another sneaky play could be Dave Njoku at 5,100. Jameis, the guy is such an incredible athlete, and that's just what Jameis does. He's going to be, we know what he does. It's YOLO City. I mean, he's going to be throwing it to wherever there is a jersey that, no matter if there's quadruple coverage. So Njoku could see some stuff there. Let's move on to defenses and Lyle.
You know, there's so many good choices just because of the bad quarterback play and receiver play here. But if you're going to pick just one for the week, oh, man, there's so many good choices. Hey, you could pick that Ravens D against Jameis. That's probably a good one, $3,400. Mm-hmm. I know they give up a lot of passing yards, but I expect some turnovers in the game, and they'll definitely pay off for it this week.
Jack?
I'm going Broncos all the way. Carolina's announced, Andy Dalton was in a car accident, John. Got a little thumb sprain or something there. I didn't read the whole story, but I do know that they plan on starting Bryce Young again. So turnover city, man. Denver has already been opportunistic and balling out against way better teams. So I like them to – I mean, Carolina may not score a freaking point in this game. It could be real bad.
Yeah, and Deontay Johnson may not play, and
well, everybody takes a step back, right? With Young, everyone – like, I had Coker in the lineup, and then when they announced Dalton was out, I'm like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, and if you have to punt, I like the Falcons this week at 2,600 against the Buccaneers, and it's just simply because they're kind of out of options. They don't have a great defense, but it's matchup-based. All right, we're going to come back. We will talk free agents, you know what I'm talking about. Waiver wire. Ooh. Jeepers, what is my problem? It's a Vikings game hangover. Two-day hangover is what's going on. All right, we'll come back with more Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Thanks for joining us again this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. If you miss any part of today's show, grab that free 94.1 The Loon app and search for us. Pizza and football is always a winning combination. And stop by or dial up Giovanni's Pizza and you can enjoy the games tomorrow even more. It's locally owned and operated. They use fresh ingredients. They have take and bake options, so grab 3-4 of them. You can have them ready for the games. Pizza, wings, wraps, pasta, salads. Something for everybody. Delivery, dine-in, take-and-bake. Smells like football season to me. Call Giovanni's Pizza in Wilmer now or take a break from cooking. 235-5555. Check out their menu online at giovannisofwilmer.com. Let's talk waiver wire in the break. I finally remembered that it is the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. And let's kick it off with quarterbacks, Lyle.
Oh, quarterbacks. It's a tough week for that. Jameis Winston's an option for you if you're looking for a one-week play. Marcus Mariota, I think, is probably the guy I'd really like to play just for this week. I think he looked pretty good. I know the Chicago defense is a little bit better, but I think Washington's just playing a lot better football, and the environment is a little bit better for Mariota than he's probably had with any other team. And so if you're going to play just a one-week pickup, It's hard to say that out loud, but I'm going to say Marcus Mariota.
Wow. Jack.
Yeah, I'm going Bo Nix, available in 67% of leagues. You know, he's right now ranked 17th. He's got over 20 points in two of his last three games. The one where he didn't was against New Orleans, and I don't think he needed to do very much. But he's got Carolina coming up. He's looking a lot better. I can't stand Sean Payton, but it looks like the quarterback whispering is working. So Bo Nix is available. I think he's a good start.
It's come to that, and I totally agree with that. And now, gang, if I am not a guy who likes to roster two quarterbacks in any league I have, but the injuries this year, you almost have to. Now, this guy's last four starts, he's got 14.5, 27, 25, and almost 19 points in his last four starts. Jared Goff, there's nothing sexy about this guy at all, other than he's not ever turning the ball over. He is completing 80% of his passes to really good wide receivers, and it's looking like the Detroit Lions are the class of the NFC. And you can throw against Tennessee. His upcoming matchups are just fine. Jacksonville's in the match. Indianapolis is in the matchups. You might want to grab this guy and just put him on your bench. He's so safe. He's so safe. Running backs. What's that?
You're just throwing me compliments. I own him in the Loon League. No. And guess what? I'm gonna play him this week, probably because Washington quarterback is out this week.
Yeah,
probably,
Jane so. Daniels. Yeah. What do you got for running backs, Jack?
Well, like you mentioned, John, it's thin. So I'm going to make a recommendation here that you go and you grab a couple of key backups with Tyler and Tyler and company. Tyler Allgeier, Tyler Goodson, Falcons, Colts. Bijan's been healthy. No problem there. But Allgeier's been sexy flexy status for some of the season. But I see that Bijan's like 100% owned and Allgeier's not. And that may be the best backup that could really just plug in and do almost what Bijan does. And then Jonathan Taylor's just been too shaky for Tyler Goodson, who is I think, you know, risen to the top of that him and Sermon battle. For these guys to not be owned just blows me away. So I'm just going to say go out and secure your backups and keep that depth on the roster.
Yep. Sounds good. Lyle?
Yeah. You know, we talk about which ones are available, handcuffs, that kind of stuff. First, make sure these guys are in, especially in deeper leagues, picked up. Here's one that stood out to me. It was Tank Bigsby. He's available in a third of leagues yet. Make sure you get him. Alexander Mattison, again, not super sexy, but he's available in half of the leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a starting running back that's probably going to get 20 touches. I know they're playing the Chiefs this week, but, you know, that 20 touches, it's hard to find. So you got to get guys like that. If you're going a little deeper, I loved what you were talking about with or Jack, his call, Goodson. Real deep league, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know if he maybe finally cuts into some of Hunt's carries, but if he gets a chance to play, maybe he's a piece of that Chiefs offense that you might want.
Clyde. Yeah, and I as far as a super deep try, dart throw, 14 team, it's maybe Kendre Miller. Because the Saints are trying their hardest to just run Alvin Kamara to death. I mean, and is it Spencer Rattler? Is it going to be Derek Carr? Does any of that matter? They're just going to keep giving it to Kamara until he can't move anymore. Kendre Miller, I don't know what the story is with him. I don't know if the team doesn't like him. I don't know. But I think they're going to have to make him Kamara's backup. He's available in 93% of leagues. And then one last one is PPR only. That's the only time this matters, and that's Justice Hill. He's available in 75% of leagues. How about wide receivers, Lyle? What do you got?
Well, I think for sure I would like to pick up the Browns receiver. What is this? Oh, man, I'm terrible today with my names.
Tillman?
Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, Cedric Tillman. I was going to call him Peanut Tillman. That's the wrong kind of Tillman. Don't give him too much credit, but 12 targets. That just stood out last week. He had eight catches and turned into like 80-some yards. Tillman's a good play for this week. Definitely available in your league. And if you're looking for a sexy flexi this week, I think I'd suit him up.
Jack.
Yeah, so I think I'm looking at the Niners and I'm looking at Tampa Bay and I'm looking at the Chiefs, teams that have been decimated at wide receiver. I think Pearsall should probably be owned at this point with Ayuk out for the season. I don't know how he's available in 82% of leagues. Of course, none of these players are available in the Loon League and haven't been since draft day, pretty much. But, you know, somebody that doesn't get a lot of love, John, is Rashad Bateman. And the guy's been, you know, he's been getting his targets. So, I mean, he's available in 80% of leagues. Just had a great week. I mentioned him, like, preseason draft. They're supposed to try to get him more involved. And now with Zay Flowers being a little banged up, I mean, Rashad Bateman could have a big, you know, a big role now.
Yeah, Bateman and Pearsall were my guys. I do like the Cedric Tillman call 100%. You got to we're throwing darts. The only other guy I would also include is Jalen McMillan, who is available in 63% of leagues. And again, is he going to replace Mike Evans or Chris Godwin? Absolutely not. But volume. Baker's a lot like Jameis, man. Just start slinging it around and hope for the best. He's not afraid of anything. Tight ends. Here we go, Jack.
Well, all right, look, there's a bunch of them out there. The one I want to give you is Jonnu Smith in Miami. The problem is, if Tua comes back, he's not really big on tight ends.
Yep.
You know, so I would say keep an eye on that. But otherwise, I said it 2-3 weeks ago, and we mentioned him in DFS, keep beating that Hunter Henry drum. All the guy does is consistently produce. And Drake may need someone to throw the ball to. Name anyone else that can catch a ball in New England. I'll wait.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So right. Hunter Henry, you know, Hunter Henry should be the guy they put up when they display the teams, you know. Like they'll put Aaron Rodgers for the Jets. It should be Hunter Henry for the Patriots.
Right.
Well, or their punter, maybe. Maybe their punter. I don't know. Kicker.
There was one time they put Belichick up.
What do you got for tight ends, Lyle?
I mean, Hunter Henry, that is crazy. He's still available in 60% of leagues.
Yep.
He's tight end six. Pick him up. Cade Otton, we talked about him too, I think, in DFS. Real deep plays. Maybe Taysom Hill finally this week if he actually plays. He's at 80% availability. So if he for sure does suit up, I super deep tight end mandatory, could do way worse than a dice roll with Hunter Henry.
Right.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, and I'm looking to the only other name, and I mean we're talking a deep play here, is Noah Gray from the Chiefs, and he's available in 99% of leagues. He did have 10 points last week, and I firmly believe the Chiefs are just they're resting Travis Kelce for the playoffs, and then they're going to unleash him. So I think that might include some more targets for Noah Gray. Yeah, but boy, we're reaching. We're talking about yeah, right now. Anyway, defense streamers, let's run through them quick, Lyle.
Lions. Lions get Levis the Tennessee Titans our offense, which has been horrible all year. If the Lions are somehow available out there, go pick them up. I think they have good matchups the following. And the Chargers. Chargers have three really good weeks in a row where you can pick up a defense and stash them for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, you bet. Jack?
Well, you know, they don't play the easiest teams, but Green Bay right now is, I think, the third-ranked defense. They're available in, like, 60% of leagues. They've got Jacksonville this week, so I don't know how they're not being started across the you know, whole fantasy spectrum here. But, you know, they played a beat-up Rams and did well. They held 5 against Minnesota, 23 against Tennessee. They still put up 4 points against Houston. That's not bad because Houston's pretty darn good. So, you know, the Green Bay Packers are slightly underrated at defense right now and probably available in your league.
Bears are available in 54% of leagues right now. They are the fourth ranked defense. I think if I read the stat right, they have only allowed two football players in fantasy football to get more than 10 points throughout this season. So keep an eye on the Bears.
My 6-1 pride, purple pride team, Chicago Bear defense.
Yeah, they're kind of just set it and forget it, and I like things like that. Okay, we're going to break down all the games, the remaining games for Week 8 of the NFL season. It's Trenchum and Benchum coming up next on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Hey, if this goes long, we will have overtime, and we will just take that straight to the app so you won't miss a thing. It's time for Trenchum and Benchum. Let's talk about all the remaining games. Week 8, no buys, not a single one. So we kick off the noon games with Baltimore and Cleveland, Jack.
Yeah, overtime is what the Rams-Vikings game should have been able to get to.
Yeah.
All right, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson's just been on fire. Obviously, he's in your trenches, QB1. Derrick Henry, RB1, doesn't matter what's going on. Derrick Henry's always a lock in the lineup. Zay Flowers, keep an eye on his questionable tag through Friday. He still maintained that. If he's in, if he's healthy, he's in. The Ravens defense, I think, is a safe start this week in defense leagues. If it's tight end mandatory, Andrews and likely, I've had both of these guys on the same roster this season, and I've always picked the wrong one. Feels like Andrews is on the hot streak right now. So if you have tight end mandatory, I would pick Andrews over likely this week. But again, I've been wrong almost every week on these two guys. Rashad Bateman, WR2, sexy flexi. I mean, you could even throw Hill in as a sexy flexi against Cleveland. I mean, they're just – Cleveland's just not that good. But I will tell you what I do like about Cleveland. They got a starting quarterback now that I actually like.
You bet.
Jameis Winston, DFS play, desperation play. Jameis Winston will get you fantasy points. We all know that. And Njoku, tight end mandatory, he's in there. Maybe even a sexy flexi, a non-tight end mandatory. Nick Chubb, I'm putting him in the trenches. Jerry Judy and Tillman. Judy is a WR, low WR1, high WR2. Tillman is a sexy flexi because you got to get lucky with him a little bit. I like Baltimore to win the game, but I do like it to be a better game than what we probably thought it might be with Deshaun Watson.
Baltimore favored by 9.5 points. Lyle, you get...
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I don't know about that.
I don't either. Lyle, you get Tennessee and Detroit.
Tennessee and Detroit. Wow. Well, let's talk about Tennessee very briefly. You're not playing Will Levis or Mason Rudolph if they suit up for the Titans, so just skip that. Tony Pollard.
You mean your dynasty quarterbacks?
Yeah, they are my, you know, we were talking off air about this. I did pick up both just in case of emergency. The absolute ripcord for my team will be to play one of those guys if Lamar Jackson and the both Colt quarterbacks go down. They will be in my lineup, I guess. Anyway, Tony Pollard is the only guy you're playing. He's a top 20 running back. He's probably an RB2 for you. You're suiting him up. The only other possible option you could consider playing on this team at this point is Calvin Ridley. Here's a fun fact for you. He's had 17 targets the last 2 weeks. He's turned that into 7 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. So you're not playing Calvin Ridley either. Okay. I think Jared Goff is a starter this week. I know in ESPN leagues, they don't like his point total very much. They're only projecting him for 14 points. But I think Jared Goff is a top 12 tight end or quarterback, excuse me, this week. You're starting Amon Ross St. Brown. He's definitely a wide receiver one. Both Gibbs and Montgomery are top 11 running backs. They have 2 top running backs. You're playing both those guys. Sam Laporta, I think you got to keep him on the bench, unfortunately. He's had 17 targets all season.
Jack just tried to trade him to me. So, I
don't think the skill has deteriorated to the point he's not good at football. They just don't throw him the ball, so you really can't play him. Jameson Williams got suspended, so you're definitely not playing him either, but I would definitely play that Lions defense against one of the worst offenses in football.
Detroit favored by 11.5 points. I get Indianapolis at – yeah.
Don't just glaze over the trade offer now. I wasn't trying to get a lot. Who? It was Laporta and somebody else. Who was I asking for?
Oh, I don't know. Probably Jamar Chase or something.
No, Jamar Chase. No, it was a simple trade.
Uh-huh. Okay. Indianapolis at Houston. Wow. What it's come to here. You know, Anthony Richardson, I have him in several leagues, and yikes. And if you manage Anthony Richardson, you're nodding your head with me. He's a bench at this point until he can get it around, get something happening. I mean, he's good for 10 points a game, and until his legs start going, you got to sit him. And because you're sitting him, you got to sit Pittman, you got to sit Downs, you got Alec Pierce's. I mean, or at least at the very least, or the very most, they're flex plays, and that's it. Jonathan Taylor is the only startable Colt, and he's still got a high ankle sprain, so Tyler Goodson maybe is the only start in this on the Indianapolis side. That's unbelievable to me. Houston had a rough week last week, but don't overthink it. Still start him. Stroud, Colts defense is awful. Stroud's going to have a bounce back. Mixon is like running back. I mean, he'd be a first-round pick right now if you knew what you knew. So you're starting Mixon, you're starting Diggs, you're starting Dell. If you want to give a flex play to Xavier Hutchinson, I'm not going to hate that, but I think you can find better stuff on the waiver wire. I like Houston's defense. Yeah, Houston favored by 5.5. Jack, back to you. Green Bay, Jacksonville.
Yep, let's do it. So you got Jordan Love going to Jacksonville, who's ranked the worst against opposing QBs and opposing offenses in almost every single category, John. So if they have a Green Bay jersey on, get them in your lineup, period. You're trenching them. I would go all the way down to the Watson. I even think that there's a place on some rosters, depending on injuries, for Bo Melton. If you have deep leagues and you rely on a Reed or someone that's been injury riddled, throw Melton on there, because if Reed sits out for 4 weeks or goes to IR, then he gets that bump up. It's an offense I want a piece of. And then on to the Jacksonville side of the ball, man, I'll tell you what, there are teams that just make football not fun, and I think the Jaguars can be one of those teams. They've had some saving grace this season with Brian Thomas. He has been really fun to watch. Brian Thomas Jr. there. Evan Ingram having a resurgence in tight end mandatory, or I would say sexy flexy. He's kind of like a WR2 at this point. And then, you know, I like Bigsby over ETN, whether they're healthy or not, but ETN still carrying that questionable tag into the weekend, so keep an eye on it. It's a noon kickoff. Again, John, this is one where if you have ETN and you don't have Bigsby, you drafted wrong.
Yeah.
You got to have both of these guys on your deal. And Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, they've just been a little too back and forth for me. I'd have them as low-end sexy flexies. Strange at tight end. I don't like as much as Ingram, but, you know, unless Ingram gets injured. So, and I'm definitely benching Trevor Lawrence against Green Bay. There's no way I'm starting Trevor Lawrence in my fantasy league.
Green Bay favored by 4.5. I thought that number would be higher.
They will see this 11.5 of the Ravens, 9.5 of the Lions, whatever it was, like no way, but 4.5 Packers. Yeah, they're going to cover.
I think so. Arizona, Miami, Lyle.
Hey, Kyler Murray is quarterback 6 quietly. I was very surprised to see that. I didn't think this was the best matchup for him this week, but knowing that he's basically been one of the top quarterbacks in the league all year, I think you still have to play him. I think he's a QB1 this week. James Conner, rock solid. So he's a RB2, tried and true. Play him every week. Trey McBride, Bake McBride. I like to call him Bake. He's a tight end one. He's starting to come on now. He's had a couple slow weeks early in the season, but double-digit fantasy points pretty much every week since. Make sure you're suiting him up. I think the big decision on the Arizona team is Marvin Harrison. He's at 10 fantasy points the last 3 weeks. You drafted him probably in the second or third round, or fourth maybe if you're lucky. And I think with all the wide receiver injuries, he's probably a sexy flexy for me this week. And that's all I've got starting for Arizona. As for Miami, everything's going to change this week because it looks like Tua's suiting up. So if you got Tagovailoa on your IR, you can activate him and probably safely play him. I think he's a top 12 guy this week. So he's in the trenches, and it boosts everybody. Tyreek Hill, who's been pretty abysmal without Tua, I think he's at least a wide receiver too now. Same with – I don't know if I can go that far with Jaylen Waddle at this point. He had 15 fantasy points in week one and hasn't had double digits since. Maybe a desperate, sexy, flexy play this week. I do like Devon Achane this week against – a not real good Arizona run defense, so I'd probably make him an RB1. You could even maybe dart throw, play Raheem Mostert in a really deep league as a sexy flexi. And I'm staying away from the tight ends and probably both defenses in this one.
Miami favored by 3.5 points. Man, I'm looking at
John,
yeah.
Am I the only one that, like, it's exciting for Tua to come back for the NFL, but, man, I wish he would have retired.
Yep, but I heard some other people talking about that, like, it almost makes you feel bad for watching football. It's like watching UFC. You want to watch it. It's entertaining. But, man, these guys get hurt. And, yeah, and he's not wearing the Guardian cap. He's just going to roll. So
I've never seen anyone have that many of the worst injuries I've watched on TV. Yep. He's got more of those sustained injuries. It's just, man, it hurts to watch. But he is better for the game.
I agree.
For darn sure.
Well, he's great for the game, but, man, like you're saying, you hope it doesn't end worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you kind of almost get this weird feeling that this is how it's going to end, that it's going to end worse. I think that's the scary part.
It's so funny because Tua is Tua, and we don't want it to end worse. And then I've heard nothing but exactly the opposite for Deshaun Watson.
So glad whatever snap. I mean, here's, you know, I don't ever want anyone to be in pain or this right. or another, but he is non-repentant for his sins. And I don't mean that in a biblical sense. He has not gone and repented to the people, to these women that he offended. And he's continued to lie to the public all this time. So he's kind of getting what the universe has given him,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just be a better person, Deshaun. I know you can hear me.
Big listener to the show.
Not too late for you. Come on, man.
Well, to move along to the next stinker that I get this week, and I think every one of them is, I got the Jets and New England. So Breece Hall, RB1, especially now. What do we do with Adams, Wilson, and Lazard? I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you a better answer. I think they're all – I think Adams and Wilson are certainly wide receiver two or flex. Lazard has been pretty good, but I think he's going to be the odd man out here. You got to give it to the playmakers. Adams with a another week of playing with Rodgers again. I think I'm skipping out on Lazard. Tyler Conklin, 14-team tight end mandatory, sure. And the Jets defense kind of took it on the chin last week, but I think they're going to be a play this week against New England. Drake May having a nice little start to his career. I just don't know if this is the week to play Drake May. No. Ramondre Stevenson, yuck. God, I think he's a flex play. And that's the end of it. Hunter Henry, we talked a lot about him. Throw Hunter Henry on there. That should get you some points for sure. The Jets are favored by 7 on the road. Jack, back to you. Your Falcons against the Buccaneers.
Yep, so this should be a good game. What's fun when you look up your player projections with Atlanta, it's one of the only teams where they have two position players ranked higher than the quarterback on projections.
So
you're going to get Bijan, Drake in the trenches. I got Kirk in the trenches. I've got Mooney in the trenches. Pitts has been a very serviceable tight end mandatory. He's in there. I'm not going to McLeod, Algier, or the defense, even though I think the defense could be kind of a sexy play this week against Tampa with all their injuries, but it seems like the Falcons find a way to let the other teams stay in it till the end. Tampa Bay side of the ball, I still think you can trench Baker Mayfield, no problem. He's still Baker Mayfield. I've got him in a lot of two QB leagues. Right now he's top 5 in fantasy football. So, and then Rashad White at running back, I think he's a must trench this week based on their other options. He hasn't been good, but he's got to be in there this week. I've got him as an RB1 this week, just on volume. Might be receiving, but just on volume. Kate Otten, and then throw a dart, McMillan, Palmer, Shepard, whichever flavor you like. One of these guys is going to rise to the top. I think I've got a piece of each one of them in different leagues, and we'll see which way it goes. But all three of these guys are sexy, flexy WR2s. Someone's got to catch the freaking ball. So not as sexy on Tampa Bay side, but I still think it's going to be a good game.
I think so, too. Atlanta favored by 2.5. I think this is going to be a good game, Lyle. Philadelphia, Cincinnati.
Hold on.
What?
The Bucs lost their top two wide receivers, and not just their two. Two of the top wide receivers in the NFL. And then Atlanta's only ranked, or only given 2 points advantage over Tampa Bay.
I don't make the call. That I went according to FanDuel's book this time.
That's that Atlanta love.
Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Lyle.
I'd like Atlanta this week, too. Trust me, that does seem a little low. These two teams are very similar. There's lots of starts here. Jalen Hurts, what did he throw, 15 passes last week? No. That was just because Saquon was rolling over that Giants defense. So I think he's still a safe QB1 this week. He's definitely a top 10 guy. Saquon Barkley's been rolling all year. You keep putting him in the trenches. Same with A.J. Brown. Now that he's returned and truly returned to full health, he's a stud, a wide receiver one. Devonta Smith had the one target last week, or the one catch, I think. And I think that was just an off week. I think Smith is still a solid wide receiver two, or at the very least, a sexy flexy. Dallas Goedert's questionable. It seems like he's not going to play, which means Grant Calcaterra, I believe, is the tight end option. I'm not going to go quite that far. But for Cincinnati, same situation. You got Joe Burrow. He's a top 10 quarterback. You're playing him. You're playing Ja'Marr Chase. He's number one among fantasy wide receivers. He's in the trenches. And so is T. Higgins. Since he's suited up, he's been great. He's a safe, I think, wide receiver two, maybe even a wide receiver one. Looks like Chase Brown has emerged as their featured back. makes him probably a safe running back too. You could maybe even sexy flexy Zach Moss. There's no bye weeks this week though, so unless you're really hurting at the running back position, like I am in the Loon League, I'd be happy to probably play Zach Moss this week. They got the two tight ends, Gesicki and All Junior. I'm probably keeping those guys on the bench and definitely keeping both of these defenses on the bench or hopefully the waiver wire, to be honest.
Cincinnati favored by 2.5. Cincinnati's defense got me like 17 points last week.
Who would they play?
That's the only reason. They're back on the waiver wire now. Late afternoon games kick off with New Orleans and the Chargers. Who's New Orleans playing at quarterback? Is it Derek Carr? Is it Spencer Rattler? Is it Jake Haener? I don't care. I'm not playing any of them. Alvin Kamara is their whole team is questionable. If you look at their depth chart, it's unbelievable. But Kamara, you're throwing him out there. Olave, I don't know if he's playing. He's got concussion problems again, and they might give him another week off. So you'll want to see if that is the case. Well, Mason Tipton, Bub Means was a hot name, a lukewarm name on the waiver wire. I mean, I think maybe Means is a flex play, but boy, we're digging deep. We talked about Taysom Hill maybe suiting up again. Hey, I'm sure you've got worse options at tight end than Taysom Hill. Why not throw it out there? He'll either get you zero or he'll get you 35. It's kind of a fun gamble play. If you go over to the Chargers, Herbert, disappointing. We knew what was going to happen this year. This is Harbaugh football. So if you drafted Herbert, you just have to take what you get. J.K. Dobbins, they're trying to do the Alvin Kamara play on him and just run him into the ground, but he's looked very good this year. Kamani Vidal is turning into a handcuff that you may want to have, especially with Gus Edwards on IR. Josh Palmer is a flex, and in my opinion, that's it. I don't want to watch this game. I have no interest in this game whatsoever. Chargers favored by 7.5 points. Jack, Buffalo, Seattle.
Yep, so this is a game that people probably will want to watch. Seattle's looked pretty good, and I think everyone in the league likes Buffalo. So, all right, so who am I putting in the trenches, and who am I leaving on the benches here in Buffalo? We're pretty much starting everybody. Josh Allen has just looked all world as usual. And when it comes to running back, even though Cook has been the RB1, Ray Davis has started to shine a little bit. And I noticed in the Loon League, Lyle already has him. So thanks for that, Lyle.
Yeah, but, welcome.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I just looked at your team again. How you're winning in the division blows me away. So, you got Josh Allen, Cook. Amari Cooper, I've got him at WR2, sexy flexy at the highest. I like Khalil Shakir still better. So if it's between those two, I still like Shakir better just for the guaranteed, more consistent production as far as just his route running and catching ability. Amari Cooper just hasn't looked good, in my opinion. I know he's new to Buffalo, but he didn't look great in Cleveland either. So tight end mandatory, you can put Kincaid in there. I'm not starting Coleman. I would probably put that Bills defense in the trench in a defense league. So onto the Seattle side of the ball, Geno Smith quietly throwing for more yards than everybody else in the NFL. And when you look at his receiving core, it's no surprise, right? But so you got Geno in the trenches. You got Kenneth Walker in the trenches. Carries the questionable tag all week, every week, and then ends up balling out. But again, if you don't have Charbonnet on the bench in your team or in your league, you should get him and roster him at least. But Walker should be a good start. Okay, so with the injury to DK Metcalf, Smith and Jigba gets a bump up, and so does Tyler Lockett. I've got Njigba as a WR1 now and Lockett as a 2 or vice versa. One of these guys is going to get a bunch of targets and a bunch of yards. Noah Fant, tight end mandatory. If you want to trend or a bench Bobo just for the name of it, go for it. But that's as far as I'm going. I like this to be a competitive game. When I do my pick-ems each week, John, this is a very difficult one for me to pick.
Rain is definite, and Buffalo is favored by 3 points. And that's going to do it for us for this week on the radio end of this thing. We're going to run over and do overtime, so you can go online, 941theloon.com, or grab that free 941 The Loon app, and we will keep going with Trenchum and Benchum on there. I want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas, for Jack and Lyle. My name is John. We're going to see you next Saturday at 10 on The Loon for the Fantasy Football Foursome. On here, we'll see you on overtime for the rest of this show.